I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got no way to go. Got to catch my sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. Ah. Plantain, plantain.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show. This is the Manchester United edition. I am your host, Tosin. Alongside me is Tommy. How you doing today, brother?
I just witnessed the worst display of football in a while. So, man, besides that, we move.
Is it really a bad display, though? I mean, obviously, we'll, you know, as the conversation goes, we'll talk, but I think it's not really that bad of a display. I think that because we lost 4-0, everyone's saying it's bad. But let me ask you this. We've seen United all season, right? From preseason till now. Is it really a shock, though? I think that's the one thing I want to ask you is, like, I think this result in a weird way kind of encapsulated everything. And it was just like, this has been coming for a long time.
I'm not even shocked at all. Like, remember, I sent you the screenshot before the game started. I predicted it would be 4-0. We know.
At 9:30 in the morning?
9:30, I predicted it would be 4-0. As soon as I heard that Bruno and Rashford are out, I knew it. It's not a shock. And like you said, it ties together the season, honestly. I don't get upset at, like, losses in general anymore. I get upset at, like, little individual things. That's what drives me crazy. And, like, we'll talk about it, but today it was subs again and certain players' performances. But like you said, it's not a shock. It's more, you know, when your parent says, I'm not angry, I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
Like that. Like, it's not a shock. It just, it ties together everything we've been saying for the past how many months on this podcast?
Not even months, brother. It's literally like the last
years.
Let me go back when we think. The sums of the last almost 20 years of United. I think that being a United fan, especially like United fans like us who genuinely know the team, love the team, and like know the inner workings of the team as much as we can, because there's certain things we can't know about, obviously, just is what it is. You know, one of my good friends, I'm not going to say his name, is a United fan. I remember in 06, he hated Cristiano Ronaldo. He was on the forum talking about get Vicente in instead of Cristiano. You know, that's the sort of United fans that we are, that we know what's going on in the club. So when I see shitty banter about United, I see things that, like, we've said for years, it's just like, come on, bro. Even United fans breaking down the timeline today, talking about some, what's Ineos doing? Brother, you don't make changes that quickly.
Bro, they just got approved by the Premier League a couple months ago. There's no transfer window yet. They're not here. Like, just relax, please. And don't get me wrong, I'm frustrated too. But like you said, United fans breaking down, and also we've talked about this. Rival fans doing the banter, bro. We said this. We said all this. Like, this is not nothing new to us. This is not anything. It's not like, oh, because the Arsenal, because the City fan, because the Liverpool fan says it. Damn, that's right. You're right. We've been saying this. Fans, like you said, fans who know the club, fans who know the sport. This stuff we've been saying for a while. So it's nothing new.
And the reason why I didn't want Kobbie Mainoo to jump in this team is what's happening right now. That's a supremely talented kid. We know how talented this kid is. But I've said this before about Kobe and his coming home to roost now. This is a very terribly set up football club, especially in the midfield. Mason Mount is just coming back from injury. You can tell. Christian Eriksen is a shell of himself, and you can tell. It leaves a 19-year-old kid who's been playing way too many minutes exposed. And he does not, like, Adam Wharton was popping around the pitch doing whatever he wants because Adam Wharton's a special player. And again, 11 days ago, on this very same podcast, I said that Oliver Glasner's doing an amazing job. I literally said this, right? And it was not a shock that they beat us 4-0, because when you have a coach who knows what he's doing very, very well, it's not a shock, especially if you've seen any Crystal Palace game. You can watch maybe 2 or 3 games of Crystal Palace under Oliver Glasner. You will not be shocked by this result. You won't be shocked because they're a really good team. I know some people are like, oh, but it's just early. No, you can see what he clearly wants to do. That 3-4-1-2, Munoz, for example, was the actual right back. Munoz is a right wing back now. And you can see the difference. You can see the difference in Tyreek Mitchell. He scored
the third goal.
Yeah, he scored the third goal. Even Mateta, that finish he did, supreme finish. That's a player with confidence, right?
Yep.
You look at what Michael Lisa did, both of his goals, it's a player with confidence, right? You're seeing a coach who genuinely believes in his team and is coming down from his brain to their feet and their body and their brains, and they're genuinely like enthused by what they're learning from Oliver Glasner. This is a coach who, if I remember correctly, Oliver Glasner's won the Europa League. I think you're right.
I think he probably has. And also, while you're looking that up, there's something about like good coaching that you said. Something I always consider when I'm looking at coaching or to see if a team is well trained. And like in the attack, do you create the same chance multiple times? And I'll pick out a couple. For example, the goal that you said Tyreek Mitchell scored. They had two chances like that. The first time was with Olise, where it hit a Crystal Palace player. The second time was with Azay when he skied it. The third time was a Mitchell goal. When you create the same chance multiple times, that's a well-oiled attack or well-oiled team.
By the way, they did win the Europa League. They beat Rangers. I remember that game because Aribo scored. I'll never forget that game. And this is the same formation that he's been playing, because remember, he played a back three there when he had Evan Ndika back there, Kevin Trapp in goal. So Rode was his captain. Kostic was on the left. Knuff was on the right. He had Lindstrom and Kamada together, which is when I love Daichi. And he had Borre up top. But this is what I'm saying. It's like certain coaches, right, they know how they want to play. And I think Eric was very successful at Ajax because they told him this is the set way we play at Ajax, the set way we do things. Here at United, he just lost his brain. But there's a lot to get to. There's a lot to get to. So I need your initial thoughts, because we've waxed lyrical already. But tell me immediately, what do you think about this game? You talk to me.
Casemiro put together one of the worst performances I've seen in a long time. Like single game individual performance, I don't think I've seen a worse one this season, and I don't think I've seen a worse one in a while. He was at fault for three of the four goals. Like, and when I say at fault, I don't mean he was directly at fault. The first goal, Olise got by him way too easy, he left too much space. The second goal, I don't know why he's that far up and out of line with the rest of the defenders, left Johnny Evans defending extra space.
Can I add to that point? He was the right back. Why was he at the right back spot?
And then people say, oh, John Evans is old. John Evans shouldn't even be playing. But at that point, you left John Evans to defend his man in the space.
And apparently, Johnny Evans failed the fitness test before the game, and Erik ten Hag begged him to play. Apparently. And you can clearly see from the very first couple of minutes, Johnny Evans was hurt. But sorry, go back to your point.
No, you're right. And then the fourth goal, I don't know what he was trying to do there. If you're trying to shield the ball properly. Be a man, please. Giddy, like, please, be a man. And, again, Anthony, another ghost session. I don't know what he's doing. And I hate to say it, Kobe looks, like you said, he looks leggy out there. He looks
him done. And Garnacho.
Bro, Garnacho wasn't even... Every time Garnacho got the ball, I don't know if people noticed, he wasn't running forward at a man. He just started cutting in, looking to pat. That man just was not... It was not regular Garnacho.
No.
Kobe Mino wasn't regular Kobe. Again, it's going to be repeating the same thing. Eriksen is done. Nwabisaka, I don't know why he kept persisting with him at left back. It does not make sense to me. Nah. It's I don't get it. Honestly, like, I'll say it at the end of the podcast too. End the season and just win me the FA Cup and Erik ten Hag can leave. That's it.
I think one of the things is, we didn't learn anything new, especially as United fans. Maybe some people who just started watching United and who want to make jokes think they learned something new, but this is the performance that we've run most of the season. The only thing is that we didn't receive a shellacking because most teams couldn't finish, most teams couldn't take advantage, and we had Rashford and Bruno and other people to take advantage on the counter. Now we don't have that. You're seeing that, like, this is not a really well-organized team. And I love Henry Winter. I think Henry Winter is one of the best UK journalists. I think he's great at what he does. I think a lot of the UK guys, let me take a step back. I think in order to be in football, there's a lot of talented guys on and off the pitch, media people, right? And they do a great job. It is what it is. But I think sometimes their biases show, and sometimes they can't generally be objective. They're like, oh, the players are down in tools. Let me tell you something, okay? And I'm gonna look at the lineup. So excuse me if I'm not making eye contact, but I'm gonna look at that lineup right now, and I'm gonna tell you the reason why I'm doing this. Andre Onana, signed by Erik ten Hag. Diogo Dalot, he came in through Mourinho, I believe. Casemiro, yeah, signed by Erik ten Hag. Johnny Evans, signed by Erik ten Hag. Re-signed, excuse me. And Wan-Bissaka was already here. Kobbie Mainoo brought up from the academy. Eriksen, signed by, you know, Erik ten Hag. Yeah. Garnacho, came from the academy. Mason Mount, signed by Erik ten Hag. Antony, signed by Erik ten Hag. Rasmus Højlund, signed by Erik ten Hag. So 7 out of the 11 players that started today, when you start to blame the players, right? When you start to say that, oh, this is the players that are down the tools. Yeah. I'm not a mathematician, so let me get this percentage right, because I didn't major in math when I grew up. You know, when I was in school, I majored in something else. I'm not going to tell you what I majored in, but I got a college degree. So when I take the number 7 and divide it by 11, I get 63%. Well, let's round up to 64%, right? So 64% of the team that started today is Erik ten Hag's players. My brother in Christ, when you're blaming the players, who made the sandwich?
Who made the sandwich? Like, we're letting this guy get off with saying the sandwich isn't good. My brother, you pick the ingredients. You turn on the oven. You cut the bread. It's on you. You're the sandwich artist here, bro. And I didn't read his I didn't see what he said after the game, but I promise you, he's gonna say something like, we deserve the point, or we didn't deserve that 4-0 loss.
You go
and
look it
that's
up.
That's what's gonna send me.
I want you to go look up what he said after the game. You go look it up. But it's just frustrating, man. This is like, and again, I'm just looking down because there's so much notes I took, there's so much stats. Mm-hmm. Erik ten Hag pointed out this is the only 4th defeat of the calendar year. That's more. There's another thing that that Ashley Young said. I'll get to that in a second. But Erik ten Hag said, for over 10 years, I've managed. I've never had so many injury issues. Now, in some positions, we don't have choices. In the left-back position, Shaw has only had 15 starts this season. Tyler Malacia has 0, and it's not even available. You are the one who decided to let Alvaro Fernandez go. I'm not saying he's the best. I'm absolutely not saying that. But I'm saying is that, like, you had the choice and you let him go. The same way you let James Garner go. The same way you made these same things of what you did. So everything that's wrong, and here's the thing. I am the biggest Glazer out ever. I've said the Glazers out since I was a teenager. Since I was 15, 16 years old, I've said this. I'm almost 34 years old. I've said this for nearly 20 years of my life, right? I can compartmentalize and say, yes, certain managers have been, like, messed up by the Glazers, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's had their own issues. David Moyes had his issue with the Glazers. He wanted to get Toni Kroos. We had Louis van Gaal had issues with them. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Jose Mourinho, even Ten Hag. But my brother in Christ, you have made certain decisions that is your fault. You're the one who wanted to get Antony. You're the one who gets certain players. And this is all on you.
There's I'm gonna double back to that left back quote, because it makes me so angry every time he brings it up. Cause let's break it down. Like let's break it down. So start of the season, right? He knew I'm gonna use the left back position to just talk about the whole team in general. But So start of the season, he knew Malacia was gonna be hurt long term. He knew it was gonna be hurt till January, because that was the original diagnosis. So he knew, I only have Luke Shaw. What does he do? He sends Alvaro Fernandez on loan anyway. Again, like we're saying, we're not saying Alvaro Fernandez is the next great left back, but he had a great spell at Preston. He won their Young Player of the Year. He did well. I watched a couple Preston games. He did good. He's a serviceable backup. Okay, you send Alvaro away on loan. Cool. Okay. What are we going to do? We bring in we wait a bit to almost last minute, and then we bring in homie at Brentford now. So we bring him in, right? January comes, we find out Malacia is still not fit. We end Reguilón's loan. We recall Alvaro. So I'm like, okay, that's what we're doing. We're gonna give an academy kid a chance. No, we sell him to Benfica, and now we're like, damn, where all my left backs go? My guy. You pushed them out. You've made multiple decisions in the same. And then, okay, I'll use the center back. Mangi, right? Right there. And a good young player who, like, many out the academy, it was him and Kembwala, right? Neck and neck. You know you didn't want Harry Maguire. So wouldn't the smart choice be, I need some backup in that position, right? You say, no, I'm going to sell him and then go bring in a 36-year-old. Would it not make sense to trust the younger player who you can mold to play your way, who is more athletic, more fit, all that stuff, who you can mold, than the guy who's past his prime, not even past his prime. He has a foot in a retirement home. That's what makes sense. The James Garner one, I still don't understand it. He didn't even give him a chance. And I feel like James Garner showed enough at Nottingham Forest and preseason even. I think he was hurt a bit preseason. But he showed enough at Nottingham Forest to be like.
He was at Middlesbrough. He was at Middlesbrough.
Middlesbrough. So when you heal up, I'll throw you in there, right? Because, well, James Garner, he's not like some 17, 18-year-old. This man is like 21. 23, showing he can bang with.
Oh, sorry, he was at Nottingham Forest. Excuse me, you're right.
Oh, Nottingham Forest. Okay.
He was at Watford, Nottingham Forest twice. Yeah, you're right. Excuse me. Okay, yeah.
So he knows he can bang in the championship. Why not trust him? It does not make sense. The Anthony one again, bro. You have Ahmad on the bench. Ahmad got injured, missed half of the season. Understandable. Now that he's back healthy, right? I wish I could pull up his accumulative minutes.
This
man, he has not played. And then this brings me to my second most annoying thing of this game. We're down 3-0. Anthony hasn't done anything. You need to make a comeback because there's an off chance we might at least be able to catch fifth and solidify Europa, right? You bring on Amrabat, a CDM that you begged for and then chose not to play.
She spent Anthony, 10 million euros on.
When there's a perfectly good Ahmad there, who's shown you when he's come on, he can make stuff happen. Again, we can blame the Glazers all we want. And I blame the Glazers. I want them gone. The Ineos coming in, I was very happy. We can definitely blame the Glazers. But we're adults, so we can focus on multiple things at once. You made your own bed. Now you have to lie in it. There's no excuse or too many injuries. I get that. No, it's not acceptable. The other teams who have injuries and they're still able to identify a style of play because they know next man up. You don't have that. It is on you. I'm not letting him get away with Ineos. The Glazers, I'm not letting him get away with injuries. I'm not even letting him get away with refs. No, it's on you. This whole season is on you.
To add to your point, Anthony's game by numbers against Crystal Palace. Shout out to Statman Dave for this, by the way. 68% pass accuracy, one shot, 0 out of 2 dribbles completed, 0 out of 2 tackles won, 0 chance created, 0 goals, 0 assists, and he cost 100 million euros. But we can keep going. And there's another thing that a lot of United fans say, oh, these players aren't running, these players aren't doing this. Like Ashley Young said, the minimum requirement of a Man United player to run for the badge. Listen, I understand that British bulldog mentality of rah, 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 run around, which is their English thing. You need, at this level, some technically supreme players. I think at the bare minimum, everyone knows you have to run. But that's not the thing you talk about. That's the thing that you have to do. What you need at this level for United team, you need supreme technicians. You need players who are confident on the ball. You need players who are just brilliant with the football. That's literally all you need, right? And then you talk about the intangibles, like, you know, you're running off the ball, doing this and that. But it's just, at this point, this is such a bad season that it's hilarious to me, you know, and seeing United fans crying about, oh, Ineos hasn't made any changes. My brother in Christ, do you know they got rid of his chief financial officer? Do you know they're bringing in different names? So it's just like, you can't just fire a coach in the middle of the season. Yeah, there's a gentleman way to do things, right? Like, I know we live in a society where, like, you know, we want to see changes really fast. I get it. I understand. Like, we're very impatient. We want to see things immediately, but there's certain ways of doing things with class. You can't just like fly. They know how bad things are in the Eric Ten Hag. Jean-Claude Blanc was there today. The interim CEO, he was there. Jason Wilcox is at every game, every training. They see these things, okay? This is Jason Wilcox who saw Phil Foden. He saw Brahim Diaz. He saw Jadon Sancho. He's seen Tosin Adebayo. He's seen all these guys that you guys are, all these players that you guys like that came from City's Academy. He knows what a stand, again, I'm going to use this word again. He's seen what a stand of excellence is. He knows what good football is. There's a guy who won the Premier League. Once again, I'm saying it again. So these guys know what's going on. And I know they know what their job is. Not going to set up for United job without prior knowledge of what they're getting themselves into. They know what's going on here. So, you know, it's up to them. If they don't want to make changes, that's up to them. You can't cry about that because this is their job. So it is what it is. But we haven't had this level of detail of quality people who know, who have, let me not say know what they're doing, who have prior tracks of knowing what they're doing. Because I'm going back to Darren Ashworth. I know a lot of people were upset, you know, Dougie Freeman apparently is going to Newcastle. To me, right, and this is going to round my point about, and we could talk about other things after this. When I look at someone like Dan Ashworth, right, we all love the talent that England has right now, right? England, to me, arguably outside of Brazil and France, I'm talking about the men's game, but not, you know, obviously this women's game as well. I generally don't think there's a country that has as much talent as England outside of Brazil and France. And even there that, you can argue. Even that you there can is, argue.
I think I would put them over Brazil even. Yeah. Because at every position, there's a young up-and-coming player who you can say, this player can play for any top club.
Look at the almost there. Even the teenagers kids, right? Like you got Rico Lewis. You got Harry Amas. Even like, you know, there's a kid at Arsenal, 14-year-old kid who just trained with the first team. Kid is supreme.
Yeah, oh, I know him, yeah.
Yeah.
Bro, even you have Archie Gray at Leeds. Don't just help them get promotion. You have players everywhere.
So the reason why I say what I said is because I wouldn't say he's the main reason, right? But then Ashworth had a big hand in what you see with the English talent today. So this is a guy who has literally built up what you see with England, right? It's gonna take some time for sure as a United fan. I'm sure it's frustrating, bro. Listen, we've been bad since Ferguson left in 2013. I understand it. It's frustrating as hell to see your team in the pits. But this is a good time because you smile, man. You enjoy these shitty times because guess what? When things turn around, you're going to be talking shit like City fans. You'll be talking shit like Arsenal fans, talking shit like Liverpool fans. But right now, there's a lot of work to be done on the ground. This game, to me, nothing. Because I knew when I saw the lineup, how many times have we talked to each other and said that we know this is going to happen?
Yeah.
We both literally, like, there was 9 days, right? That United had to prepare for this game. You have Christian Eriksen and everyone fighting over free kicks, not knowing where they're going to stand. That's just bad coaching.
Absolutely horrendous coaching. And it's just one of those things where you're just there, like you said, it's going to take time. So, like, of course, it's okay. Like, you're going to be upset. That's understandable. But this whole losing your head and just bowing down to this is my biggest problem with United fans. I'm trying to find the most PG way to say it.
Just say it, man.
They're a bunch of cucks. They're a bunch of cucks. They wait for other like United fans who know the game. They'll be saying stuff. They'll just ignore it. But then they'll see a Arsenal, City, Liverpool fan say something, and they just instantly hop on that, start disparaging their own team. Like, I'm like, bro, are you guys okay? Take pride in your team, bro. Take pride in being a United fan. Why are you over here just piling, joining the hate club? Like, Mino, right? I remember Mino up and coming, you know, he's doing all that. I've seen some United fans like, oh, why is he even getting this praise? Why do he even deserve? Are you guys dumb? Please, like, grow a spine. That's United fans' biggest problem. They're all a bunch of them are spineless. This fan base is spineless. And even the players are too. That's another thing. The players are too.
I just genuinely, like, I love United. Like, everyone knows that. Like, I just want everyone to raise their standards, right? Like, and I love people that, like, you know, obviously everyone is frustrated. Everyone wants to, like, see better players at the club. Like, when I see stuff like, oh, we should have kept Sabitzer, we should have done this. Like, I'm like, listen, man, we got to have a higher standard of loving ourselves. I think it's number one thing. It's like what Kendrick told Drake. You need to take ayahuasca and strip down yourself, okay? You need to genuinely look in the mirror and love yourself, okay?
It's not a battle against United. It's a battle with yourself, bro. Look inwards. And also, that Sabitzer thing. This is how I know people don't watch other leagues. They wait for Kate Abdo and Mike and all of them to start to show highlights of Champions League, and they're like, "Wow, look, see what we're missing." Go watch 3 full 90s of Sabitzer and tell me you still want him starting at United. No, injury prone, his age. No, bro.
Let me tell you something about Ahmad.
Other leagues.
Can we go back to Ahmad quickly? So this is a scoreline, and shout out to Kane Smith for this. This is a scoreline when Ahmad made appearances at United. Liverpool, we're losing 2-1, he came on. Bournemouth, we're losing 2-1, he came on. Coventry, drawing 3-3, he came on. Sheffield United, losing 2-1. Burnley, drawing 0-0. And Crystal Palace, we're down 4-0, and he came on. I don't know what Erik ten Hag's problem with him is, but it's not good.
I never want good players to leave United, right? But it's gotten to a point where, like, I can say, I understand. If Ahmad decides to end in a transfer request, I will be hurt because I like him. Good player, technical, tidy, all that stuff. But I'll understand. This is a kid who's 22, 23. He needs to be playing. He was on the fringes of the Ivory Coast setup before when he joined us when I was on loan.
Even
and now
even
he can't even get a look in.
Even at Atalanta. I mean, he was...
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he was on the fringe. And now he can't even get a look in. Max Gradle just retired. That should be his spot.
Mm-hmm.
And now he can't even get a look in. Why? Because he's playing yeah minutes. What? No. I don't blame him if he leaves. I don't. I don't want him to.
You know, when, I have to go back to what I, you know, after we have to also credit Crystal Palace. You know, obviously, you know, we United fans, we talk about team. But the job Oliver Glasner has done since February is supreme. He's beat Liverpool United, you know. And I think what he's done, again, and I'll go back to what I said 11 days ago on the podcast, what he's done with Olise and what's it called? Eze, those two together, and then Will Hughes being combative next to Adam Warren, and you have, you know, your guys.
Can I shout out one player? Chris Richards.
My brother, hold on. I was about to say Chris Richards, and I'm so glad you said that. Go ahead.
That is a player. I remember when he moved from Bayern to Crystal Palace. People were like, oh, look, another American falling down the hype. Chris Richards is like 22, 23. You guys have to stop giving up on players so early, please. But I saw a couple games of him when he got caught up to like the USA camps, the U20s, when he made his debut. There is a player there, and I'm so glad he's realizing. That man is a tank. He's good on the ball, or like, you know, he's not terrible on the ball. Like, he can handle himself. He's a great defender, and he's even getting better going forward. They play him at DM sometimes, don't they? Mm-hmm. I'm sure they play him like either next to Wharton or right behind
him. They used to, but they switched up the formation now, so they got three at the back. So they have actually Nathaniel Klein's a center back, which is funny. So this is how they start. Dean Havinson's obviously in goal. Klein, Joachim Anderson, Chris Richards in the left center back. Then you got Munoz and Tyreek Mitchell as your wing backs. You got Wharton and Will Hughes together. And then in front of them is Eze and Olise and then Mateta.
Yeah. And it worked. Okay. It worked because Chris Richards, he has the pace and talent to cover that entire left side. He lets that left back go.
Tyreek Mitchell.
Up. Hmm? Yeah, Tyreek Mitchell. There we go. I don't even remember that guy's name. He lets him go combine with Eze and Will Hughes. I got us. And then even when he goes up, that is a player. And I, oh my. So like you said, we're giving Palace credit here. I know Eze and Olise get credit, or like rightfully so, but I just wanted to shout out Chris Richards.
He's a good player.
That is a baller.
He's a good player. And Mark Gay came back today for them, which is really good.
Yeah, they need that.
Just overall in general, man, Crystal Palace is a very, very well-coached team. And I think that the job of a coach is to train players, right, obviously, and, like, put them in the best situation for them to thrive. Mm-hmm. When Casemiro was doing well at Real Madrid, it's not because Casemiro was, like, you know, the best player on the ball. He was very combative. He was very athletic. Knew how to get up and down the pitch. But the thing is that he got the best out of him at Real Madrid is because they had an entire team around him, right? You have 11 players and obviously 10 on the pitch and one in goal, breaking it down like this is U12, like this is U2 football.
Honestly.
But it's just like at Real Madrid, Casemiro had Cruz, he had Valverde, he had Modric, you name it, he had all these talented players around him. At United, it's just like it's not that much quality, man. And it's frustrating. I get it, man. Like, it's one of those things where, as a United fan, you're just constantly scratching your head. But like I told y'all, like, weeks ago, man, listen, this last stretch of games is tough. I don't think we're going to win a single game. And Arsenal fans think on Sunday they're going to come to Old Trafford and lose. I'm like,
I'm sorry. I'm, as a full-blown hater here, I need us to beat them. Mm-hmm. Not even because of the title race. I don't care about that. I don't. People ask me, "Oh, who do you want to win? Your three rivals." I don't care. In my eyes, this title is vacant. I have to talk shit to so many people. They cannot embarrass me. I mean, they already did. But I need them. Like, Rashford, do you need my ankles? Bruno, out, please. I need you guys to crash in on that team. This is just completely off topic. I hate Arsenal so much. When I became I was born like a United fan, more or less. Mm-hmm. I've been a United fan since I lived in Nigeria. I remember watching, like, Paul Scholes was one that got me into playing midfield. I remember back. I remember all those guys. I'm a United fan through and through. Growing up, it was always Arsenal that was right there being annoying and Liverpool. I hate those two teams the most. I cannot let Arsenal fans be happy around me.
You know, Arsenal fans are going to say if they beat us on Sunday?
What?
Wah, 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 wah. It's literally what they're going to say.
Fucking yo.
But yeah, man, listen, overall, be patient, man. Things are going to change at United. It is what it is. We have some questions, actually, some people. Let's go to C-H-R-I Soliro. I don't even know how to say his name. Chris Solo, I guess. He goes, are you guys aware no one feels bad for you? Not for the Glazers, not for Anthony, etc. Okay.
Do you want a cookie? I beg, shift.
Okay. Congrats, I guess. Nobody cares about us. Okay.
Like, bro, do you think we're hurt? Like, do you think, bro, being a United, I'm conditioned. What's our slogan? Hated, adored, never ignored. Do you think we can?
Bro, I'm going to support United to the day that I die. It is what it is. What you want me to do?
My kids don't have a choice. Like, my kids are not yet. Oh. No kids yet.
No kids yet. Are you hiding a child, Aubrey?
Hey, listen, relax. Listen, hey, chill before Kendrick comes after me. But bro, this is a bloodline thing. Even my little brother, I forced him. What?
As he should.
United household through and through.
Let's get with another question. Dre Harrison 101 said why. You know, what did 50 Cent say one that song? Sunny days wouldn't it be special if it wasn't for rain. We getting torrential downpour right now, baby. Don't worry.
I'm about to say, also, guys, I hope you guys know, during the 90s and 2000s, we're the boogeyman. The chickens have come home to roost, so accept it. Like,
yeah.
I accept it.
Nissan Abraham Pakanish asks, Tuchel or Southgate, because I'm ready to get hurt again. Well, I'm going to tell you this for free. Southgate's not going to become the main United manager, so.
I won't let it happen.
You're not gonna let it happen. It's just not gonna happen. And even if it does, it's not just gonna happen. Darrell B asks, where does the rebuild start? Who gets to ask first? Well, the rebuild has been starting, my brother in Christ. It's literally in front of your face. There's replaced the CEO, they replaced the CFO. They control the finances and they control the signings. You have Omar Brada coming in. You have Jason Wilcox already started. Dan Asher is going to buy you in a couple of weeks because Dougie Freeman is leaving Crystal Palace and going up north to Newcastle. So it's already starting in your face, bro. I mean, if you want to talk about players going to get asked, I mean, Varane is definitely going to go. Martial's definitely gone.
Martial's done.
Casemiro's definitely going to be done. Johnny Evans is probably going to retire. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, he's cooked.
He's on the block,
Who else is there? I mean, it's going to be wholesale changes.
Like you said before, guys, please be patient because it won't be smart to sell 10 players because we need to sell 10 or more. It won't be smart to sell 10 players in one season. So please be patient. Some players will go first and then others will go the next season after. I know in my heart of heart, I just know we're not selling McTominay this summer. I want us to, but we won't. And I'll accept that as long as the other people go out too.
Yeah.
I know it's a process. So the process of rebuilding on the field will happen, but it will be slow. That's how football is. This is not Football Manager. This is not FIFA. You don't just instantly click a button and boom, this player is gone. Okay? So please be patient.
And our last question comes from Nieses Jackson. Any particular manager you guys are interested in when Ineos inevitably sends Baldy on his way? I'm going to let you take this one first, Tommy. Go ahead.
It's been like a back and forth in my head. I remember when you texted me, you told me that you were starting to warm up to De Zerbi a bit. And it's not that I've been anti-De Zerbi. I just didn't think he deserved the praise he got to the level he got it at.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't be mad at him. I would be skeptical, but I wouldn't be mad at him. Tuchel is a no for me. I think my number one choice, and it's a long shot, I would say Julian Nagelsmann. His reign at Bayern, I don't know why people are acting like it was bad. It wasn't bad. It was not. But no, Bayern standards are insane. And honestly, Bayern's, their board is a mess. There's a reason why no one wants the job. I don't know if people saw Kendrick and Drake took all the headlines. They got rejected by a guy who ended up going to West Ham to replace David Moyes. They're getting rejected by everyone. Mm-hmm. Ragnick said, no, I'm going to stick with Austria and them men. So I think Julian Nagelsmann's problem wasn't him. It was Bayern. So I would take him at United. That's my number one pick.
He's not good. He's sticking with Germany. So sorry about that. I'm a sicko. Okay, so you don't ask a sicko questions like that because I'll start bringing up coaches that you don't even know about because I'm just a sick man. Start bringing up coaches from like the Chilean First League because I'm just a sick man. But I've always loved Marcelo.
This man wants the local Manchester United futsal coach.
Coach from Manchester, like Manchester Bluebirds and shit. I love Marcelo Gallardo. I adore his football. I think that what I saw at River Plate, that just a really good manager. But this is unrealistic managers, obviously. I really like Matthias Yassel, who used to be at Salzburg, now is Al-Hilal. I don't know why he's out there, but he's there. Who else do I like? I do like...
Hold on. The first name you said, I heard that it's... Was he at Olympic Lyon?
Who?
Marcelo...
Gallardo?
Yeah.
As a player, he's... So he coached at River Plate. Damn near won everything at River Plate. But as a player...
The name just sounded so familiar. I don't know why.
As a player, he played at River Plate, Monaco, back to River Plate, PSG, DC United, River Plate again, and then Nacional. And he was at
I think it was at DC United because I'll be going to DC United games.
And then
I'm a sicko.
Yeah, he also lost to Nigeria as a player in the Argentina in the Confederations Cup and in the Olympics. A little humble brag there, but yeah, I like him. Won't be shocked if Thomas Tuchel gets a job. We're going to be realistic. I also like Thiago Motta, but I think he's going to Juventus. But to answer
that one is sealed. He's at Juventus.
Yeah, but to answer your question, truthfully, it's probably going to be Thomas Tuchel. So they're going to do wife swap, whatever. So
I just hope this is just me, I guess. I just hope he doesn't bring Thuram at the back to United. I cannot stand Thuram at the back center formations. Please. This is woke football. That's what this is. Stop. Stop doing Joe Biden football in my club. Please.
It's so funny, though, man. Every time people say they're throwing the players underneath the club, man, like, whatever, bro. Just, it is what it is. I'm just trying to look for some more stats and just see like that. I will say this one more last thing. Adam Wharton is serious. That's a very good player.
That's a bot man. That man. Oh, I was watching him because I've been hearing his name a lot, and I've seen I randomly catch Crystal Palace games. But man, that's a England. Please, this is a midfield you can't mess up. You messed up Scholes, Gerrard. No, you messed up Scholes and Lampard. You cannot mess up Mino, Bellingham, Wharton, Rice, Archie, please. Let's be serious here. You cannot mess this up. Please.
And the scary thing is England got a lot more like younger talents that's coming.
There's even some in the United Academy that just be not Jace Fitzgerald. Is it the other guy?
Jack Fletcher?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fletcher. Yeah, man. Even Carrick's son. I've been here. No, funny enough, speaking of United, we know that the U-14s won a trophy, and you never guess who scored one of the goals.
Wayne Rooney's son. I know.
Yes.
You think and I don't? You don't know my club, brother.
I was about to say, I forget what I was talking to. But that guy's a serious left footer. Like, I've seen some of the. Hey, listen, please, yeah. Restore the feeling.
What's crazy is, man, currently United see eighth in the table, minus goal difference after nearly 35 games out of 38. Yeah, well, you know, Jamie Carragher did say that United are very poorly coached, so I'm glad Jamie's seen it. I don't know, a lot of people just, you know, I know a lot of people are just, you know, it is what it is. This guy was saying how, like, you know, oh, you know, Wharton's excelling at Glasner and Kobe Maino doesn't. Listen, you're seeing a player in a poor structure versus a player in a
good structure. That's a lie. Why are we lying? Like, why are we lying to say Kobe Maino is not performing? He's just gassed. He's gassed. It's okay. Like, were you not there for the other, like, 15 performances in a row where that man was, like, if not the best, one of the best players on the pitch? Come on, like, this is my thing about football fans. You guys are too reactionary. It's too reactionary, and you guys don't know the sport. So please, don't hop online and start talking nonsense to me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, United got four more games left, I believe. So it's Arsenal on Sunday. Who else United play the rest of the season? I know it's
Newcastle, Brighton.
Yes, Newcastle. So it's Sunday, Arsenal, Wednesday. No, Sunday Arsenal, Wednesday Newcastle, the following Sunday Brighton, and then that's the end of the season. So three more league games and then the FA Cup final. So just counting down the days, man. Just counting down the days. Counting down the days. You got anything you want to add before we head out of here?
No, I mean, hey, you know, just thank you guys for listening. And win me the FA Cup, then go away, Baldy. I'm sick of you now.
Yeah, I mean, I have nothing negative to say. I mean, it's been such a rough season for the fans, been such a rough season for the players. But, you know, hope springs eternal. You can only hope that, you know, Ineos knows what they're doing. They're bringing the right people on paper. It looks like that's what they're doing. So, yeah. You have to hope, you know. You can't really beat yourself up over things like this. It just is what it is.
Literally. And the motto, we go again. We go again. Always. We got a cup to play for. You got another season, and hey, go outside, man. It's nice outside. Touch some grass. Talk to a woman or a man.
Yeah, smoke some grass if it's legal in your state. But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. Until next time, we're out. Everyone take it easy. Peace.
Peace.
I take my shirt off. Work all day. Hustle and pray. Way to go, got to catch my sugar, my plantation sugar, my plantation sugar, my plantation sugar, ah. Plantain.